Hello, kiddos. It's Camaro Payne. What I'd like to speak about today is the subject of mental illness. I suffer several very severe mental health conditions, none of which affect my ability to be rational, I think. About 15 years ago, I began to experience pain in my, I started to experience pain in my feet and legs since I was a young child. They wrote it off to growing pains. That is not what it was. When I was pregnant with my first child at age 27, I started to experience very severe low back pain, but I assumed it was the pregnancy, yada, yada. It became unbearable right before I found out I was pregnant with my son. So I was unable to have any scans, do any medication. Once I stopped breastfeeding him, I went to my general practitioner, who immediately referred me to a physiatrist, who is a pain specialist. This pain specialist, whose name is Dr. Barbara Quattrone, I want you to know that so that you can all avoid her. Before giving me so much as an x-ray, she immediately prescribed me opiate narcotic pain medication. Immediately. Which, looking back, hindsight being 2020, was the worst possible thing she could have done, and it has ruined my life in more ways than I can adequately describe. So I, of course, quickly became physically dependent, and at the time, I had an infant and a four-year-old. I was running my own company, my husband and my company, working 12, 18-hour days. I worked while I was in labor in the hospital. I went back to work 3 days after my son was born full-time. So I became very quickly addicted, not just dependent, but addicted. And when she brought me into her office and said to me, "Your MRI looks like thousands of MRIs, and none of those people are experiencing your level of pain. So frankly, I don't know what to tell you. I think you ought to see a pain psychologist and learn just to get comfortable with it." Well, that was the last time I ever saw her. I went back to my general practitioner, who was at the time Dr. Mark Michaud of Primary Health, who is the worst physician on the planet. He is absolutely mentally ill. His nurse, whose daughter worked for me briefly and who I am friends with, the nurse, she told me the only reason that she stayed there with him as his nurse was because she cared so deeply about his patients. And she did tell me that she absolutely believed he was incompetent and mentally ill. So he immediately took me off of Vicodin, Norco, which is your low-level narcotic pain medication, because it wasn't managing my pain. And he put me on OxyContin. At every appointment, he would say, "How's your pain level?" And I would say, "Well, I'm still in pain." "Oh, we have to up your dose. We have to up your dose." Within 6 months, I had gone from taking 2 10-milligram Narcos a day to 140 milligrams of OxyContin a day. Now, what I learned later, which is something he didn't know because he's not a specialist, is that when you have chronic pain, you can only expect your pain to be managed via medication by around 40 to 60% if you are lucky. So at this time, I became heavily addicted. The pressures of being a parent of young children, of running a business, all while living in a body that was a prison made of excruciating pain, dealing with the absolute confusion and the rage. Why me? Why me? I was so ambitious. I was so driven. I was so ready to take the world by storm. And than this. And I shook my fist at the sky and said, why? And that anger and confusion and the fact I felt so alone, I felt like nobody was going through what I was going through and that nobody understood, which of course wasn't true. So I began to seek other sources of that medication and was spending upwards of $5,000 a month on pills above what I was prescribed. That went on for about 2 years until my husband discovered that I was embezzling money from my own company. And he did the right thing. He took my bank card, cut it up, changed all the passwords, and cut me off financially. Totally cut me off. Now, I wanted to get off that roller coaster. I was living a complete hell. Now, at this time, my parents, who I was extremely close to, had decided to serve a senior mission for their church and were called to Santiago, Chile. They left when my son was 18 months old and when I was going through the deepest, darkest addiction of my life, which they did not know. So they were gone. My husband couldn't understand. I had nobody. I was totally alone in a crippling OxyContin addiction, trying to come to terms with the fact that I may never have a future. And that was, to understate it quite emphatically, very hopeless and very despairing. Years later, when the anger subsided, what I was left with was drowning in an endless ocean of grief. Grief for what I had lost. Grief for what I was experiencing daily. Grief for the loss of potential. You have to understand that when your body, think about if you throw your back out or you have an acute injury where you are in pain for several days or weeks, really think about how miserable and incapacitated you are. It is impossible for me to describe what it's like to someone who hasn't experienced it. But when your body hurts to that degree, day in and day out, it breaks you to such a devastating level. I was the most powerful, dynamic, driven individual. There was nothing that was going to stand between me, my purpose, and my dream. But this did. And over the years, it broke me down more and more until I was so bad that I was in so much pain, I could not bathe. I have had to cut my hair off completely 2 times in the last 5 years because it has become matted beyond repair because of my inability to take care of myself and my inability to ask for help. In 2012, I started to become agoraphobic. I didn't recognize that that's what it was until a few years later. I had this mental illness before it was officially recognized by the mental health authorities. The only form of agoraphobia that was officially recognized at that time was the form that is derived via social anxiety, which, if any of you know me, I clearly do not have. But there is a form of agoraphobia now that is caused by long-term chronic illness. You simply suffer so endlessly that you are loath to leave your comfort zone. I have not traveled since 2012. I do not leave my home. I do not take my kids to school. I do not go to their school events. I do not grocery shop. I do not pick up my prescriptions. I do not visit friends. I do not have friends over. I started to isolate more and more. Because in 2013, on top of the pain, I started to exhibit symptoms that were very much like lupus. I began to get bright red rashes that flushes. They weren't rashes because they weren't raised. They didn't itch or hurt. On my chest, my neck, and my face, I would get edema, swelling, a host of symptoms. I had angular keelitis, which means that you have sores in the corner of your mouth, open scabs. The angular keelitis on my mouth lasted in 2012 for 9 months. I mean, and that's a really big part of the reason I stopped leaving my house. I looked terrible. I was tested for everything under the sun. Well, my husband had heard something on NPR that said that sweeteners such as aspartame and Splenda can mimic the symptoms of lupus. And I said, well, I don't use those. Well, I went and looked at my cough drops, which I'm addicted to. And even though they're not labeled sugar-free, sure enough, sucralose. Within 10 days of stopping eating those, my symptoms had subsided by 90%. That sucralose chemical is so poisonous, though. That was in 2013. It is now 2018. I still have symptoms occasionally. Not often, but occasionally. The big advertising push for Splenda is that it's made from sugar. Well, let me tell you how it's made from sugar. They start with a sugar molecule. When they are done with that, and it is now sucralose, that sucralose molecule more closely resembles DDT chemically, which is a pesticide that was banned in the 1940s, than it resembles a sugar molecule. So the only artificial sweetener that is safe is stevia. I urge you, do not let your children, do not allow yourself to ingest aspartame, Sweet and Low, Splenda. It is poison, absolute poison. Do some research. I ain't lying. So, and then I was diagnosed with liver disease, not from alcohol. It's genetic. And I started to exhibit the symptom of chronic nausea and vomiting. And I mean, I will be sitting here just happy as a queer $3 bill or whatever. I don't know what's happy. All of a sudden, bam, I'm nauseous. I'm vomiting. And this would be going on. I would vomit 3, 4, 5 times a week. So I started taking raw ginger root, and that helped a ton. But I just got sicker and sicker and sicker on top of the pain. By 2015, I was in bed 22 hours a day. I would get up for a couple hours to see my kids and go back to bed. It was my only respite, sleep. But I'm an insomniac. So I would have to knock myself out. I didn't care if I had a future. I didn't want a future. I had daily suicidal ideation. My kids are the literal reason I'm alive. I would never do that to them. There were so many times, though, that I didn't want to live. Things are markedly different now. I am so happy now. I'm actually so excited about my future that I finally feel guilty about smoking. That's always been my long-term lazy suicide plan. And my husband and I were just talking about ways to start mitigating that health risk. I have since the time I stopped Oxycontin in 2010 and went on a different pain regimen, I have reduced my pain medication by 50%. I am so proud of that. In November of last year, I hit... The thing about chronic illness is you will fall into these pits of hopeless despair and you think you'll never claw your way out, but you do. And I do every time. But in November, I had reached this low point where I was sick all the time. I was in so much pain. I couldn't even stand up to cook mac and cheese. No household chores, no nothing. And I was so despairing that I knew something had to change, and I asked for help. I asked God, Source. I call it Source. Most people call it God. And I was immediately prompted to watch the documentary Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead about juicing. Within 3 days, I had a juicer and I began juicing every single day. And I did that for 3 months. I still juice. I'm going to do a whole nother podcast on that. But suffice it to say that that singular action has reduced my physical pain, my chronic debilitating physical pain that I have had for 15 years by anywhere from 50 to 70 to maybe even 80%. I used to have daily headaches. I haven't had a headache in months. I have not been nauseous in months. I have energy. I'm happy. I'm putting makeup on. I'm getting myself presentable. I'm starting to leave the house. I am actually ready to go to the balcony on a Sunday night to see a drag show by myself. As an agoraphobic person who can't even go to the drugstore, I'm so optimistic. And I wish that I could convince people of how important it is to do something like that for yourself if you're suffering, because that juicing turned my life completely around in 2 months. I went from being totally suicidal, the lowest I had ever been. Within 2 months, I was ready to take the world on again. I have a lot of work to do because, you know, it takes a long, long time to get as broken as I am. So it's not going to be fixed in 3 months. I am hopefully going to get back into community theater and start acting again, which has been my dream since I was 2 years old. Hopefully Sam Stimpert of the VAC will let me perform there, even after I railed him on Facebook because I'm an out of control, angry asshole. But I did apologize to him in person. And I will do it publicly if I, you know, on Facebook, if that's merited. I mean, I'm doing it here now. I was humiliated, you know. I felt like he didn't think I was good enough to pay him a shitload of money to rent his stage. And I do feel like there is a clique of people in Boise that are the Boise hipsters that don't accept certain people. And I'm one of those people. Do I give a shit? Oh my God, no. Are you kidding me? I mean, look, this is not bragging, but I left Boise for a really long time. I lived in LA, Seattle, New York City. The only reason I came back here was because I was pregnant with my first child and I wanted my kids to know their grandparents. We just happened to build a business here because the job offers were abysmal, and that's an understatement. And so now we've got a very successful business here. for 15 years we have had, and we take care of 10 families with that business financially. And so we can't leave, you know, and why would we? It's a great city. I love it. And I'm not for one second ashamed that I came back to Boise. But I do feel like there are some people that never left that look at me and I don't know what they think. You know, I am very outspoken. I am over the top. I push social boundaries and social norms because I'm fascinated by psychology and human behavior. But for those of you who truly know me, you know that my heart, well, you know what my heart is like. You know who I am. For those of you who don't, I encourage you to ask me anything. I am an open book. But what I really wanted to just say is that for those of you suffering from agoraphobia, chronic illness, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, any of those things, I have spent decades working tirelessly for those people who, for whatever reason, cannot, should not, or will not seek that help through normal avenues and means. Sexual abuse survivors, which I've also been through, and more. Reach out to me. I am a huge part of my purpose in life is to be in the service of humanity, albeit in a very nonconformist way. But that's probably why I attract a bigger audience to help, is because I'm not like most spiritual people who, you know, go out and proselyte and do all that Bible thumping bullshit. So my email is camaropain@yahoo.com. You can reach me on any of my social media. If you need me, reach out. Now, I will say this. I was an out-of-control healer for years, and I would help anybody and everybody, and people were crawling up my ass, and I was helping people to my detriment, to my family's detriment, people who were toxic, people who did not deserve it. I had to stop that. So, you know, if I do have someone reach out to me for help, and they're toxic, and they're abusive, and I see red flags, I will very, very gently say, I'm sorry, but I'm not the right person for you. And you know what that does, because those people are who they are, it creates rage in them. And then they go out and they very publicly and loudly assassinate my character. And, you know, if anyone here in town hears someone say, Janet Davis is such a cunt, I mean, can you imagine the shock? They're going to be so surprised. LOL. I can truly say that at this stage of my life, I give zero fucks about what people think about me. I hope they think kindly of me, but, you know, it doesn't matter to me. The only people that I know for sure love me are my parents, my husband, my kids, Mark Hanford, Akiva, and Michael Tapia. That's it, man. That's just the list. Those are the only people that I know for sure. All right, I'll wrap it up. This is a long one. I love you all. I do hope to hear from some of you via email or other methods. As soon as I have the YouTube channel that I'm going to be narrating for is called Universe Inside You, I believe. It is spiritual in nature, but there is some kind of crazy conspiracy theorist stuff in there. But hell, what do I care, man? I'm a fucking voice actor. I'm a trained actor. So I'm very happy to do it. On that note, I'm going to leave y'all to it and have a lovely evening. Be blessed. Tell the universe what you need and what you want. And then watch for synchronicities. Watch the world unfold around you to accommodate your purpose and your path. If you listen, you will hear. Okay, love to y'all. Talk soon. Bye.